John Boy.
Lessons from the screen, what we mean is we go through different documentaries to tell you what they gon' do. Give you our lessons, give them our blessings. If they trash, we tell you there is no second guessing. Knowledge is power, but time is precious, and we're here to keep you from them lessons. So sit back as we groove, giving you the review, so you only spend time on the docs that you need to.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Lessons from the Screen, the show where we give you a review of whether or not a document, a program, a documentary, or whatever that you might get through any particular screen is worth watching. We waste our time, our energy, and our brain power so that you don't have to. You're welcome. Lessons from the Screen is brought to you by PAX Inc. through the Freedom Train Network. So you can find us on the Freedom Train Network's website, www.freedomtrainradio.com. Or on iTunes or Google Play Music, search Lessons from the Screen. And be sure to head to both places and give us a review, as well as head to the website and interact with us, because we like interaction. Also, be sure to head to www.paxinc.org to show some love to our sponsors and check out what they're doing. PAX Inc. is a Black activist and advocacy organization focused on developing the Black community through a shift in culture, education, and economics. And as always, Lessons from the Screen has a frame of reference and perspective that is aligned with that of the Black community. So everything that we look at will be looked at with the racial component involved and with some lessons that can be used to improve the community. This show is meant to be a tool. This week, we will be talking about the Abacus story that was publicized in a recent Frontline documentary earlier this year, 2017, by Steve James, the creator of Hoop Dreams and No Crossover. I like both of those, by the way. The documentary is called Abacus, Small Enough to Jail. Small Enough to Jail is the story of a family-owned bank in Chinatown, New York City, New York. It was started in the mid-1980s, and as of this current moment, it's been run by the second generation, the daughters of the man who started the institution. It is one of the primary financial institutions of Chinatown, New York. It is one of the only institutions to service that demographic, the aging community. And it also has the distinction of being the only bank to be criminally charged involving the subprime mortgage bubble of the late 2000s. The only one. Yeah, I know, right? Really? The only one. We are taken through the incident that caused them to be suspected. And this is an interesting story in and of itself to give you a brief overview of it. There was a bad employee or a group of bad employees who had come up with a scam to scam customers that would come in seeking loans. They would charge them extra money, extra interest rate, extra down payment, whatever, and they would pocket that cash. Well, the bank eventually caught on to what they were doing, and they fired the individuals that were responsible and reported the incident to the necessary officials, the necessary reporting agencies. Something that, by the way, they did not have to do technically. They probably could have kept it under the rug and avoided this entire situation, but they chose to report, trying to cover their bases, trying to cover their backsides. Lo and behold, not too long after they reported the incident, they find that they themselves are being investigated, and eventually they find that they themselves are being charged with a crime. We are moved through the trial, the various humiliations they had to undergo, the various bully tactics utilized against them, and the various emotions and other things that they had to experience while going through an endeavor that they really didn't understand why they were being put through it in the first place. We get to see the community's response to the charges, the trial, and the overall situation. We get to watch as it unfolded. And we are also given a look at the community in general, how they feel about their place in America, things that they experience that they feel are unfair, and various other situations that make that remind them that they are in fact immigrants in a land that they hoped will welcome them as citizens. It is a powerful documentary. It is an interesting documentary, and it is something that gives us a lot of food for thought from several different angles. For starters, and well, before we get into that, I do want to say this was your typical fair and balanced documentary. Both the bank was represented from numerous angles by more than one person, and the government was represented from numerous angles by more than one person. And the situation itself was commented on not just by the primary players involved, but also by a few experts and a few other people outside of the situation looking into it. You had your typical talking heads. You had your old news footage. You had your witness and expert testimony. So in that sense, it wasn't anything that was completely new in terms of structure. It's something that we've seen before, and it's something that we like, because we like when our documentaries present both sides of the equation. It gives us context, it gives us perspective, and it helps us to become more informed on the subject matter because we get it from both sides. And there are a lot of documentaries nowadays that don't present that. So that was something that was extremely refreshing to see in the day and age where documentaries are more or less propaganda tools. But what was most interesting to me with regards to this documentary was the cultural component. And to understand why this was interesting, you have to understand the way that a lot of us in the Black community, and I won't say all, but a lot of us in the Black community are groomed and taught to look at the Asian community. In a lot of ways, we're taught to look up to them. And for many of us that have had limited interactions with that community and with members of that community, that's kind of the way we move through our lives. You know, we're taught to look up to the cultural integrity that they have. We're taught to look up to their economic power. We're taught to look up to their educational prowess. We're taught to look up to them on several different levels. And even our Black intellectuals and those that would fashion themselves as intellectuals, when they're doing their lectures, when they're talking to us in the community about various different things that we could do better, the Asian community is often held up as the standard. And Chinatown is often looked at as the gold standard, as, you know, the end game. That is what we would like to have. They have a Chinatown. We would like to have a Black town or a Little Africa or whatever you want to call it. So you have to understand that perspective to understand why, for me, the cultural component was so interesting and why I think it will be interesting for a lot of other Black people that look at this documentary, even more so than the actual story itself. Although the story was interesting, but the story was interesting. More interesting because of those cultural components. When you think about how we're groomed to look at them and then what ended up happening, in addition to the view of the culture that we ended up seeing. In this documentary, we got to see a lot of cultural elements that contradict our beliefs. Like when I talked about cultural integrity, we're largely groomed to believe, a lot of us, again, not all of us, but we're largely groomed to believe that the Asian unity, the Asian faith, the Asian belief, the Asian adherence to their culture is unshakable, it's unbreakable, it's unmistakable. And in this documentary, we got to see current generations of Chinese who are growing up not knowing how to speak Mandarin or Cantonese or any other Chinese dialect simply because they don't want to. We're getting taught to, and their parents are forcing them to. We're getting shown different elements, if you look at it, of what could be termed as Asian assimilation in a world and from a frame point of a viewer, being a Black person, that has often been told and been groomed to believe that Asians integrated. They're trying to integrate. They have not assimilated. And there is a difference between the two. So we're getting these different cultural components in terms of their economic power. We're getting shown that they do have economic power, but that economic power is not an overall umbrella or a blanket or a protective shield for them in all aspects. We're getting taught to look up to their educational prowess. And that is something that while this documentary does not really shine a light on, it's just in terms of the cultural perspective, the cultural view that we have of them. When those other things are cast in a different light, you begin to wonder about that third point that I made earlier as well. And all of those things cause you to wonder about several other things about them. You know, we often see and things are often mentioned in the guise of the women as being these docile and submissive women that you hear about and that you see in the movies, and you hear about Asian women and how submissive and how docile and this, that, and the third that they are. But in this documentary, we got to see that these women were not docile. They were not necessarily submissive. You know, they were going to speak their piece. They displayed the same level of strength that we like to attribute to Black women. They were going to speak their piece. They were going to speak their mind. They were not going to be silenced. And in a lot of scenes, they were not silenced, even when the mother and the father tried to get them to be silent so that the father could speak. And the interesting part to that was that the appearance of the man seeing, you know, that we have the cultural view of the men that we have is one that the men are overbearing, these super controlling type men. And we got to see a father who was very laid back. He was very chill. He was not overly aggressive. He was not overbearing. He was not overpowering. He was not domineering. He was very laid back, very chill, very just, you know, it is what it is. If you want to speak, you can speak. You know, he was very much that kind of person. So, and I understand you can't make generalizations about an entire culture group, but when you are groomed and taught to believe a certain thing and then you see something that's not that, and in terms of the women, you see several different examples that is not that, not just one person. You know, it kind of causes you to take a step back and think about things. I myself have been lucky enough to have enough interactions with the members of the Asian community to understand that the stereotypes are not true. But it is something that in my dealings with Black people, I understand those stereotypes still hold up and they still hold a considerable amount of weight. So the cultural component was very interesting. The fact that the bank of the community was targeted was interesting and sent a powerful message, because as I mentioned earlier, when we talk about their economic power, we often talk about how political power is unnecessary, how when you have economic power, you don't necessarily need political power, or you can exercise political power through your economic might. And this documentary showed that to largely be untrue. You know, in fact, it was actually stated in the documentary itself that the Asian community is targeted in a lot of senses because they have no political power to push back or punish politicians. So in this case, the center of their economic power in that community, the bank of that community itself, was targeted. And that just is a powerful message to help us to understand that while economic power is definitely something that we need, we also need to understand that political power still has its role to play in the protection of a community. So that was a powerful lesson as well, and it was a powerful message if you just step back and think about it. We also, when we talk about the unity of the Asian community, there was a scene in the documentary where the word gets out that this bank is being charged with a criminal crime. And the Asian community, the Asian members of that community that have funds in that bank, begin to make a run on the bank. And it was so bad that some of the people in the documentary mentioned that they didn't think that the bank was going to survive. In fact, the founder of the bank had to come down and talk to the people in the line and soothe them and get them to understand the situation and get them to understand what was going on so that they could calm down and not destroy the financial center, the economic center of their institution. And that in and of itself is a powerful lesson because, again, we are taught the unshakable unity of the Asian community. But in this scene, we are shown that that unity is shakable and that it was shaken and that their code of conduct is vulnerable to outside forces and outside pressure. So that was a powerful lesson as well. And then there's even a scene where there's a woman talking about how she got a ticket and how she felt like it was unjustified and how she feels like the cops bully them just because they're Asian. She couldn't think of any other reason why this might be going on. And again, we see representation of the fact that just because they have economic protection and just because they have a nation, a home nation that they could potentially protest to or get support from, they still find themselves facing hardships and unjust situations. And so it gives us another look at the totality of the system that we live in as Black people. So we see that they aren't protected by their economics. We also got a view that the danger that is posed by their isolation, the Asian community largely keeps to itself. And as such, when things do happen within the Asian community, they don't have a lot of allies to count on. Not allies in America. No one really cares. No one really goes out of their way to help them. And a lot of this is because nobody even realizes that they are experiencing the types of things that they're experiencing. The Asians are getting messed with. The fact is, we just don't know about it. We don't hear about it. So, you know, that's another lesson in isolation. And we get to look at all these things. So they do have cultural protection in terms of preventing them from losing their heritage, should they not want to lose it. But social protection is absent. And those are two different things that we often like to look at as if they are the same, but they're not. It also provides an interesting look because a lot of the blueprints that we have for Black empowerment are based on things that we believe are happening within the Asian community and more specifically within Chinatown, USA. If you listen to a lot of the Black lecturers, speakers, and intellectuals, when they talk about a community that's not being messed with, a community that we should be mirroring, this, that, and the third, they either talk on the Native American community or the Chinese community, the Chinatown community. And this documentary, as well as other documentaries that have come out about the Native Americans, have shown that those people are getting messed with. Now, they are having more success pushing back than we are, of course, but they are still facing problems. They're still facing oppression. They're still facing abuses simply because they're not white Americans. And in the case of the Asian communities, it's not even that they're poor, because these people have money. The father was a lawyer before he started a bank, which is another reason why they were able to push back the way they were able to push back. But we get into all these narratives and we get shown all these things from a cultural perspective, from an economic perspective, that if we look at on a deeper level and make a comparative study of, we get to understand that modeling these communities does not provide us the protection that we believe it does. And so we have to think a little bit deeper about our problems and about the situations that we face. And all of this is very powerful stuff. Very interesting stuff. But watch the documentary when you watch it. And I'm going to recommend that you watch it. But when you watch the documentary, make sure and take care that you pay attention to the cultural elements and make sure that you pay attention to the various things that you thought was possible based off of narratives that you believed were accurate to their community. And think about those things. So in terms of score, I give Abacus a 4 out of 5. It is a must-see for a variety of reasons with lots and lots of interesting takeaways. I covered some of them, but I did not by any means cover all of them. And again, I did not go into great detail about what was presented in the documentary because I don't want to ruin the documentary for you. I want you to go check it out. So get used to this because this is how we're going to be doing them. Now, if you want someone to read through the situation and help you understand it, then it is a good documentary for you. It does provide avenues for you to feel what's going on, but it was mostly a breaking the situation down with information and opinion documentary. So if you like documentaries where there isn't a lot of narrative, there isn't a lot of explaining, you just get to feel what's going on like there are in a lot of the recent cultural pieces, or like there are in a lot of the animal documentaries where there isn't any narrative, then this isn't for you. But if you like situations being broken down for you and the talking head style and those things, then this is a documentary for you. I do think it would have been better if more context and more relevance would have been provided, if they would have given more information about the crisis, about the scope of the practices, so that we could better understand how significant the situation was. I think it would have been better from that regard, but it was still very much a very good documentary. So Abacus, Small Enough to Jail, can be viewed free from the PBS Frontline website. You can also find the link on our Freedom Train website at www.freedomtrainradio.com. If you go to the Lessons from the Screen area, there will be a section in there for it. So I hope you enjoyed this review. I hope you enjoyed the commentary. I definitely recommend that you go check this documentary out. And we will see you next week for another episode of Lessons from the Screen.
Lessons from the Screen, what we mean is we go through different documentaries to tell you what they gon' do. Give you our lessons, give them our blessings. If they trash, we tell you there is no second guessing. Knowledge is power, but time is precious. And we're here to keep you from them lessons. So sit back as we groove, giving you the review, so you only spend time on the docs that you need to.